4A7 still had that smug calm about him. Even now his ambush had failed.
I suppose I'm only obliged to give you my name, model number, and parts code.
Anakin noted that the blaster fire had stopped abruptly. Funny.
I have no orders to kill the Hutlet. I'm unarmed.
Spy, then. You'll be even more useful when your data is extracted. Ahsoka came running toward them with her lightsaber held so tightly that her knuckles were white. She seemed lost for words for a second. But she'd find some harsh ones pretty soon, he knew. She'll have to do something about that temper. Maybe I'm the wrong master for her.
You're a traitor, she said.
As her lips moved, Anakin could see the little killer teeth, the ones she usually didn't show.
A traitor.
No, I'm not a traitor. I'm just not on your side. I serve another government, one no less valid than yours. There is always more than one side to any story, youngling.
She had no answer to that. Anakin realized he now had a logistics problem, as Rex would call it.
I'm coming, Rex. Hang on.
He'd have to take this spy with him, because he couldn't leave him here. And spies were no ordinary prisoners. They were dangerous every second of the day. And a droid spy, it was almost too much to think about. He could be a booby trap, or a sabotage device, or a surveillance system as well. Anakin felt he was collecting problems, not solving them. Time mattered.
Come on,
he said, and went to usher the spy droid onto the ship with the intention of having R2-D2 render him safe, like some kind of elaborate bomb. But Ahsoka was still fuming. If she'd had fur, it would have been standing on end. She had this way of being absolutely still and then exploding into movement. Right now, she was a statue.
You're still a traitor,
she said. She never raised her voice. The S was hiss.
Still aiding a monster.
If you truly believe that the Republic and the Jedi Order are wholly good, and that the Confederacy is wholly evil, then you're even more dangerous than my mistress thinks.
Ahsoka snapped from freeze to explosion and swung her lightsaber. Anakin was standing too close. He jumped back instinctively as 4A7's head hit the ground and bounced once before rolling to the foot of the ramp. In shocked silence, Anakin could hear the droid's voice repeating something. He ran to it and squatted down to listen, trying to make sense of what had just happened. 4A7's voice was fading, repeating snatches of his final words. Anakin had taken the heads off many, many droids in the war so far, and it hadn't troubled him one bit. But the disembodied head, lights still active, and the very human voice still talking, gripped something deep in his gut.
You're even more dangerous. You're even more dangerous.
The voice faded to nothing, and the lights died. Ahsoka stood over him. He looked up at her for once.
Creepy,
she said. Volatile memory. Anakin had to move on to the next task, to the hut and to Rex. Spy droids don't store their data when they're terminated, for obvious reasons. I believe they transmit it.
So he's scrap.
Anakin watched R2-D2 roll up the ramp carrying Rata. If Hutts could be traumatized in childhood, that kid was going to be a basket case after what he'd seen in the last day or two. Yeah, Anakin said. You could say that. He sealed the hatch behind them. R2-D2 had to work some of his astromech magic to fire up the drives, but they lifted clear in one piece.
Scrap.
Where did scrap end and being begin?
You did a great job, R2, Anakin said. Thanks, buddy.
R2-D2 whistled. He said it was a pleasure.